Welcome to another episode of Stokes and Folks. Here interviewing and talking to people who make the news and really the A-list of Utah political folks. We have with us today freshman Congressman Burgess Owens, and thank you for joining us today, Burgess.
Spencer, my pleasure. Looking forward to chatting for sure.
We appreciate you being here, and I shouldn't be as personal and call you Burgess. Let me call you Congressman. That would be that'll be better.
So I'm still trying to get used to that second word, Congressman. I'm okay with Burgess, by the way.
I would imagine all of a sudden putting the member of Congress pin on your lapel and having a staff and having people call you Congressman would be an adjustment probably from the football field, right?
It is. But, it's interesting because to kind of put it back into terms of football days, one of the things that I do remember, and I have to tell young people out there was a time when the Raiders used to win a lot of football games. It was a time where a lot of players wanted to be there. And that moment for me was sitting in the locker room, Super Bowl Sunday, getting ready to go out and play a game, and looking around that room and seeing guys that I had so much respect for, and knowing that I was sitting there with them thinking, I can't believe I'm sitting here. And of course, we went out to win. And I feel the same way right now about where I am. I never thought about taking this route, never thought about politics as being an issue. But with what we're going through right now and with the need that we all have to communicate with each other, to reach across the aisle and find those things that are important to stand strong for our values, that there could be never a better time for me to be representing Utah than now. So I'm excited. I'm excited about this opportunity. I'm thankful for Utahans for giving me this opportunity to represent them. And I'm gonna do the very best I can. So I look forward to the process.
Well, we'll enjoy all of us getting to know you better and to interact with you. And you've got your staff all geared up. We've paid attention to your staffing, and you've done a good job there. And I guess what I'd like to ask is just give us kind of your overall impression, what it's like to be a freshman member of Congress. It is a very interesting time. I'd love to hear some about that. And then we want to talk a little bit about your committee assignments and some of your goals that you have for the future on the committees.
Well, I've always had faith in American people. I was raised in a time when our history was taught, pride in country was taught, and we weren't assimilating like we are today. But it didn't matter what culture we came from, whether it be Black community or the German or Jewish, we had one thing in common. We loved our country. And we believed that in order to get the respect of our fellow Americans, we leaned in hard to meritocracy. So we study hard, we work hard, we run hard, because we knew that that was the way that Americans do respect each other. So the fact that I had that opportunity to go through that, I have such a faith and respect for the American people and what we do. And I look at this last year, we the Republicans lost we didn't get the House back, we lost the Senate, and we lost, of course, the presidency. But what the American people did was remarkable. Across our country, we flipped 15 seats. We didn't lose any of the other seats that we're going for, which was not expected at all. But what the message was collectively is that we want to have our Congress talking to each other. We have the smallest margin since World War II, which basically means this: for those moderate Democrats who want to be around 2 years from now, we have to start getting some things accomplished. We can't just argue at each other, throw words at each other. At some point, the people want results. We don't want to continue looking back and being angry at each other. And what real true leadership is all about is what kind of vision can you give us to give us hope, to give us an opportunity to feel good about who we are, so we can go out and take those steps we need to take to achieve the American dream. So I believe the biggest message out of this last time is that we now have a Congress that at some point will begin to focus on things like jobs, getting our kids back to school, and make sure everybody feels safe. Those who want to get vaccinated can get that done. So I'm looking forward to being part of that, and looking forward to reaching out to anyone on the other side who have those same values and same priorities. And at the same time, pointing out those who don't have the same values and the same priorities, because there are that group of people that doesn't want the same thing that many of us want to have happen. So to me, it's just a great, great opportunity to be one of those who will always, always highlight the greatness of our nation and what we've overcome. And the fact that because of our history, our culture, our DNA, we will want, we will win once again, like we always have. And I'm
looking forward to that process. You bring up a really interesting point, and I think it's a valid one. The country is divided, and it's pretty closely divided, and the Congress kind of mirrors what that divided country looks like. It's, as you pointed out, the closest ever. The Senate's never had, they've had one other time they've had to enter into a governing agreement, and so it's exactly 50-50. I think people thought that it would be difficult for Republicans to keep control of the Senate. The two races down in Georgia were going to be a hard-fought battle, but I think people were surprised by the unexpected victories in the House. And so I do believe you're right on track that this is going to I think, force Congress to have to deliver on some things and work together. And I don't know if you remember the last time there was a kind of an overreach. I really respected President Biden for wanting to work together, but, you know, actions really do speak louder than words here. And I hope that the Democrats will not, even though they have a slim majority in each of the chambers, that they won't try to overreach, because it didn't pan out for them the last time they did this during Obamacare. They got it passed, but I think to some detriment.
They paid a price.
Yeah. Let's shift for a minute. I think some are aware of what your committee assignments are. We've heard education is one of your committee assignments, but tell us a little bit about your other committee assignments and the subcommittees you've been assigned to, because what people don't understand is everybody thinks it's a really glamorous role to be a United States congressman, but, you know, the casework isn't that glamorous, what you're doing for constituents, and you're representing all the constituents of your district.
Yes.
And secondly, the committee work, not so glamorous. So tell us a little bit about the committees that you're on and the subcommittees you've been assigned to.
Well, first of all, I came in, this whole process of getting into politics was new to me, so I wasn't really aware going in what these committees looked like. I did know this, I wanted to be part of education because my dad was an educator, my mom was an educator, and I know the power of learning to think and the excitement of learning. So I knew that was gonna be part of it. The other one I thought I really pushed for was small business. Because I've always believed that the small business owners are truly the heroes of our country, have always been. We don't talk about them enough. That in our college, we've not talked about the capital of the free market. But if you talk about where our middle class is powered, it's those small business owners get up every single day, take a risk, make sure that their place is a place that people want to come to, and they leave, they feel much better than they came. And so that was where my focus was. So for the judiciary to come into the picture was kind of out of the blue for me. But I'm now realizing how important that is also, and I'm excited about that. So under judiciary, my committees are constitution, antitrust, and crime. So within that umbrella, under that umbrella, I can now go for things like the anti-trafficking, which is to me a very, very primary focus that we can model here in Utah like no other state can do so. I just had a meeting with some of our religious leaders here in the area. And to know that we can come together, we the people, the strongest words in the history of mankind are those words, we the people. And if we together as a religious group start to really focus on how can we make sure we message to our kids that they truly are special and that this country is special because of the way we began. So that's kind of where that committee fits in. The other one, and so that was judiciary. The other one was education and labor. And I'm actually the ranking member of early education, secondary, and it's a remarkable opportunity. Never saw it coming, but I'm now seeing that I can be a voice because one of the things I do believe, Spencer, is that we have such a good, America's full of so many good people, but our true value comes when we can get to that point of empathizing. And that's why you look at Utah, it sends our kids all across the world, around the world, they come back with a better way of empathizing with other people than any other way of doing it. What I think has happened over the years in terms of education is that we have a lot of good people that can sympathize with the fact that many of our kids are not being educated. When I talk about the lack of education, the literacy within the Black community, it doesn't do our country at all any good. And people feel bad about it, but they never quite understood why choice is so important until now. Now we have a lot of good people who can afford in the past to get in the right zip code or send their kids to the right school, and they never had to really worry about the issues that so many of our at-risk people have to worry about. Now, this last year, we're on the same page. We now see my child should be able to go to a school that reflects my values, that my priorities, and for them not to be able to go to school because somebody says that it's not good ideas, it's not right. So what I'm saying with this, this last year is going to allow us in so many different ways to have conversations that we never have had before. And that's between Republicans and Democrats, with conservatives and liberals. It doesn't matter. When you have a business, you want it to run, you want your kids in school, you want to have the safety of a vaccine. It doesn't matter what our ideology might be. We have the same end game. So I'm looking forward to taking this last year with all the bad things that happened to make it a good thing for us as Americans to talk like we the people should have always done in the past. And from that, we're going to come together with solutions that we never have thought about. And we'll also be aware, this is very important, we'll be aware that there is an enemy at our doorstep. It's an ideology of godlessness, ideology of misery that does not like free market, does not like the family unit. And it's real. And it's actually been at us for a long time. So for the first time, independents, Republicans, Democrats, we can say, you know what, guys, we might want to get there different in a different way, but the end game is to make sure our country succeeds and that our family is successful, my kids have a better future. That's kind of cool, I think, and that's going to be an opportunity we'll have moving forward.
Were you surprised to get, for the listeners that may not know, when you say that you're the ranking member on a subcommittee, what that means is you're basically the Republican chair of that subcommittee. So who's the chair of that subcommittee?
That's Virginia Fox.
Okay.
Virginia Fox. And we've had long conversations about what education labor could do and where my passions were. And believe me, it was a shocker to be given this great honor. I kind of learned something throughout the years. I'm a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and I learned a long time ago when asked for a call, you say yes, and then try to figure out how you're going to make it happen.
For those listeners that don't know what church that is, that's the former Mormon church. Were there any other freshmen that got a ranking subcommittee chairmanship?
No. I'm the only one, and I think a lot of this. What I love about the Republican Party is not about seniority. I mean, I'm sure it is to some degree, but it really comes down to what can we bring to the plate. And I think because of my background in the community I grew up in, my passion for education, and what I've seen happen. And I'll just give you an example. I think people need to understand what's happening that many folks don't know about. When you have 75% of the Black boys in the state of California cannot pass standard reading and writing tests. We have three schools in Baltimore in which there's zero proficiency in math. Yes, they're not part of Utah, but they're gonna impact our kids' future because they see the view of our country quite a different way. So that has been my passion for a long time. And I think that's what kind of went into this selection. I can talk about it for days. It's a passion for me. I'm all in. And I think every child, as ignorant a free can never be, was Thomas Jefferson. It plays true to our country. The more intelligent we are, the more critical thinking skills we have, the more we can talk to each other without getting angry and want to pick up a stick and hit each other. The more we can think, the better we are as being Americans. And so that might have played a little part. And I'm excited now about the opportunity to share this process and learn what that position means.
Well, I was going to say congratulations, because, you know, for those who I've watched this, you know, for 30 years, this is highly unusual that a freshman would get a ranking appointment on a subcommittee, any subcommittee for that fact. So congratulations on that. And that is an honor, and good luck. good luck dealing with Congressman Fox. That will be that'll be a challenge, and you should bring some of your great communication skills and trying to get on the same page with her. But that the Education Committee, as you've pointed out, is so important to the future of our country. It all starts there, making sure that future citizens, taxpayers, all are educated as they come into voting age and can read and write and can be productive citizens in a very great, very great nation.
Can I add this?
Yeah.
We have a few, just a quick second, because again, a lot of my passion comes from experience. It's not hypothetical. And a lot of things that Americans don't realize because our history is not being taught is that any culture, any people, no matter how they come here, what the language they speak, are literally one generation away from middle class if we tie it to the tenets that make our country great. And it's real simple. It's education, faith, the family, and a free market, period. Based on that, when I said not hypothetical, I grew up in an environment in 1960s, segregated South, KKK, Jim Crow, in which the Black community I grew up in across our country led our country in the growth of middle class, men matriculated from college, because college and education was everything, men committed to marriage, and percentage of entrepreneurs. So based on that, when I talk about education, that flows into everything else. When you can read, you can gain a better, stronger faith. When you have faith, you're more committed to your family. When you have faith, you're willing to take more risk. And if you fall flat on your face, you say, you know what? I think maybe if I change my ways, God might bless me this time around. So all that plays into being able to think and educate and read. So I think our country's greatest hope is to make sure our kids understand how to think and communicate with each other and see those magic words that we grew up with. Remember, Spence, let's respectfully agree to disagree. Remember those days?
Oh, yeah.
We got to get back to that for sure.
Well, you've helped us do that. Help us do that, Congressman, because I think I really do. I'm not pessimistic about our nation. I think, as always, our best days lie ahead of us. We've had a lot of great days in the past, but our best days lay ahead of us. So let me just kind of shift gears for a minute. You know, you represent the 4th Congressional District. It's been a district that's changed hands back and forth over the years, and we're heading into a census and redistricting. What are your thoughts on what your district should look like down the road? What are your thoughts about, you know, you're probably the most compact district of all of the districts in the state. And I know it, and I know it's going to be tough to honestly talk about this because you want to say, I love every area of my district, but what do you think the line should look like as we head into redistricting?
Well, you know, it's interesting because that piece of it, I don't have any say on. All I can do is the things I can control. And I want to just, for those who are just getting to know me, if you have not read the book, there's a great book came out years ago called The Five Love Languages. Remarkably good book. Well, mine is service, which basically means if I had 24/7, I'd serve. And if I could find another hour, I'll try to fit that in here also. The other part of that is my NFL career had so many losing seasons. Before I got to my Super Bowl championship game, I lost for 12 years before that from high school and college into my 7 years with the Jets.
And if you ever have the opportunity to meet the congressman, ask him to see the ring. I mean, it's pretty impressive. So sorry, keep going.
The biggest lesson that came out of that, all those years, is I realized along the way that you cannot control the scoreboard at all times. What you can control is your hustle. So what the districts will get from me is someone who loves to serve, who loves to hustle. And at the end of the day, as I'm hearing what the district needs, my goal is to make sure my district is represented well. And I don't care what side of the hour we're on. I'm one of those guys who would love to respectfully agree to disagree. So I know there's going to be people who will not agree with my philosophy or the way I see getting us there. As long as we're on the same page, that we want this to be the best district in the entire country, with kids having more options and parents having more freedom when they get to where they want to start retiring. If we're on the same page with that, then we'll get there. And I'm willing to share my thoughts how to get there. And if we don't agree, I'll be the first to listen. Let's move on. This we'll respectfully agree to disagree on this topic. Let's find something we can agree on and let's move forward in those areas.
That's how I'm
approaching elections from this point moving forward. Is how well do I do connecting with those in the district, no matter what side of they're on.
So have you kept the district office in the same location as, I think Congresswoman Love had her office there, changed over to Congressman Ben McAdams, and you've kept it in the same place.
Same place in South Jordan, a lovely location. Very, very, I was just down in St. Pete last night to a meeting down there. So yes, we have a remarkable team, by the way. And for those who, the biggest thing that we can do here is our constituent service. Make sure when you call in, you know that we're doing our best to highlight those issues you're working through with. We know that coming in. The great thing is my team here shadows my mission, my passion. So you can find one of the hardest working, most service-oriented teams. I hope that at the end of the day, you'll ever have seen as we come through this process. That's my goal anyway.
Well, thank you so much, Congressman, for spending a few minutes with us. We keep these to 20 minutes, and we really appreciate your time. You've been listening to Stokes and Folks, conversations with the newsmakers and politicians, and we appreciate you listening. Subscribe to us wherever you subscribe to your podcast, and we look forward to hearing from you or seeing you and listening next week at Stokes and Folks. Subscribe also to UtahPoliticalUnderground.com. We'll talk again next week.